The first one this size. There was a mini version of this at CCAC that is not quite this complete. It's not color, and it doesn't have a Genlock. Oh, that's another module that I didn't mention. They do have a Genlock, which is called a sync stripper. And the next series of slides you're going to see are computer graphics that were done on the system that Larry Leschke described. And it's they're all done on grass. It's all real-time material that can be performed. And right after, well, you'll recognize some of the images. Some of them are from Dan Sandine and Tom DeFonte and myself and a few other people that have worked on the system. And then we're going to go right into a videotape. This is, those are lenses that go in front of an advent projector, which allow you to project it farther than the setup that you see here. This is the piano curve that you just saw the tape of in the piano boogie. The videotape that you're going to be seeing is sampling that I put together for this, and it'll give you a progression of how I work with source material in performance. It'll start off with some computer graphics, and then it'll go into just some representational source material, and then it'll proceed to a processed version of a very similar source tape that was done in, this will be an excerpt from a performance that was done at the Art Institute in San Francisco, and then a portion from another performance that was done at the Blue Dolphin in San Francisco that is strictly analog and just with one camera. And then it will proceed to one of my favorite pieces, which is called Eureka. And Eureka is, the name indicates what object you'll be seeing in it. And that's a highly analog, these are oscillators in the background, incidentally. The Sandine image processor oscillators. And Eureka is a really highly analogly influenced computer graphics where we were using shapes rather than lines. And then it'll go into some more straight colorized digital processing. I'm sorry, digital computer graphics, which have just been colorized, and they've been digitally split. I'm saying all this now because I want to play the tape without having to say very much. All of the stuff that you'll see in the tape can be performed, and most of it has been. And the audio in the tape was all done by James Gillerman, who I've done a lot of work with out here. And some of that is from processed pieces, and some of it is live. System that was described by Larry Leschke, who talked last. This is grass. Yeah. Right, colorizing and processing. Is this one pass or what? No, this is one pass. This is all unedited except for the fact that I shortened them in order to take sections of them to show here. But this can be performed in real time, given the equipment to do so, which is something I'll speak on right after the tape. I said I wasn't going to talk during the tape, but I am. I make a distinction between different types of performances that I think is an important one to convey to you on how I feel about it. And that is performances that use video space as opposed to theatrical space. And what I mean when I say this is very often you see a performance that is theatrical, that has been documented on videotape, and you don't really need the videotape in order to do the performance. That's not the type that I do. The type that I do is very, very dependent on the parameters of video. Which winds up involving you in some way into the hardware of the whole thing, which is how I got into that. I think both can have elements of each, and myself, I do mostly multi-monitor presentations. I have used an Advent projector frequently, but I really like good resolution. And so that's why I'm sort of bound to monitors most of the time. Now this is the processed version of what you just saw. This was from the performance. This was using a tape material as source along with the camera and oscillators, which allow you, when you bring in the oscillator, it generates a pattern and it allows you to change between either the camera or source materials as you please. It's a kind of clumsy way of doing it. But right now, it's kind of a bounds of the equipment. Where am I currently working? I've been doing performances just all around here. A lot of them at Catspaw Palace in Berkeley. Mostly my own, but very. And for each one of these performances, it involves a lot of going around prior to it and finding different people who have different equipment to let you use for this particular performance. And in places like, not this one, but the one you saw, which was done at the Art Institute in San Francisco, they have some equipment there, so you use what they have plus your own. Definitely. Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, I guess it is appropriate now. I was going to wait and talk about this afterwards, but I've been dreaming about what I call a fantasy facility. And what is involved in a fantasy facility is, did you notice all the hardware that was in, not my tapes, but the tape that Larry Leshby showed? All that stuff. There's an incredible amount of equipment. There was at the Center Focus event where I showed you the inflatable. There's a lot of stuff there too. That's a collaboration of about three different facilities that allow that to happen. Now what I'd like to really see happen, and I was going to put a plug in it here if anybody's interested in working in this direction, is starting a facility here that would include a full range of equipment. And when I say that, I mean full range of equipment. Of audio, video, interfaces between everything, computers, both analog and digital, because I think that's really necessary in the direction this is going. Now, in addition to the hardware concerns, there's a space concern, and it should not be in a different place. I mean, that's when you start getting the hassles of schlepping around equipment, and that's a real pain. And I know because I've done it a lot since I've been out here, and it takes hours and hours of setup time. and you want to try to be able to avoid all the hours and hours of setup time and just concentrate on the content and the software. So I would really love to see something like this happen out here. And there's a lot of people that could get into a facility like this once it was started. But it's going to take a lot of bucks to begin with. No. No. Having been on the board of the Bay Area Video Coalition, we've been talking about free access a lot and not free access, and I think it would have to be controlled, and if you want to talk about that, I could go at length. But I'm more concerned at this point in setting the facility up rather than who uses it right now, because there isn't anything like this that exists anywhere. I mean, a place that has a space big enough to configure any kind of a performance you would want of a really highly sophisticated nature. This one is using Tom's system. It's using Tom DeFonte's system, GRASS, at University of Illinois. And it's using it a little bit differently than most of the people there have been using it. We worked with shapes and used them as solids rather than as lines. And the system really isn't optimized to do this. Portion of this was done by Gunther Tetz. And the analog portions in all of these were done by myself. This one is split digitally on a PDP-11 and a vector general display, and then it's colorized by the image processor. I really can't. What did you specifically want to know about it? Yeah. Mentioned about the fantasy facility when you're looking at that, but this part I have to read because I have a whole list of things that I want any designers out there to keep in mind when you start designing more equipment. And it's really important. It really is. And I don't know anybody. I think it's going to be digital, but I think it should have analog controls. But aside from that, all the support equipment and everything, we want, and this is for all the people who do performances with this stuff, small, sturdy, compact, reliable, rugged, easily transportable, inexpensive, and that's really, really important because you want lots of whatever you're going to have lots of, right? And last but not least, a large viewing screen, larger than that, that doesn't have a console in the optimum viewing place. And this is not a cut to that. I've used them and I love them, but I'm ready for the big wall screen flat TVs that I keep hearing rumored about for the last 3 years. So, okay, that's it. And if anybody is interested in working on a facility like this, get in touch with me. And also, if anybody is interested in seeing what an image processor really looks like and what it does, I've got it set up in my studio. So.
That's all, Jody. Okay, thank you very much, Jody. I guess this morning we've been enlightened, so to speak, by the activity in the area of computer-controlled video art. We're going to be taking a break for lunch, and the session will persevere in, I guess, half hour, an hour. Thank you.